I want to welcome everybody, our campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown, Espanol in the morning time for the first week. We've moved Espanol to the morning, so if you want to jump in on that, if you're at the Loop campus, you can jump in on that next week to be able to be a part of that. But we are starting a new series. It's always exciting to start a new series. And our series is going to be in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is a great book. This book is being studied because Kelly and I, a couple months ago, we just decided we were going to read Proverbs. So we would read a proverb a day, and we'd talk about it, and we were just overwhelmed again with, this is such good stuff. This is such good stuff. And so when I started praying, saying, Lord, what do you want to talk about next? I felt like Proverbs is where we needed to go. So we're going to talk about Proverbs, but we're going to do something. We're going to have seven things out of the book of Proverbs. So seven pillars from Proverbs, different subjects that we're going to talk about. This week, we're going to talk about wisdom. That's all throughout Proverbs. Next week, we're going to talk about parenting. And then we're going to talk about how to be a woman of God, a man of God in different weeks. We're going to talk about sex one week. We're going to talk about integrity. So it's going to be a lot of stuff that you're going to want to hear. So next week will be parenting. This week is wisdom. And wisdom is a powerful thing. And wisdom is mentioned all throughout Proverbs. Do you know that there's 52 times in the book of Proverbs that wisdom is mentioned? 52 times in 31 chapters. Now, here's what we're going to do. As we go through this book of Proverbs over the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about Proverbs. We're going to do two things that we don't typically do. One, I want all of us to read Proverbs over the next weeks. So we're going to read Monday through Friday a proverb a day, okay, is what we're going to read. A proverb a day. So I want you to do something. I want you to grab your Bible, turn to Proverbs 4. I want you to grab your listening guide, and I want you to grab your phone, okay? Students, even though your parents told you to leave it in the car, you can sneak it out at this time, okay? Have pastoral permission. So here's what I want you to do in just a second. I'm going to tell you what we'll do with this. So I want you to get to your phone and get to your text messaging spot on your phone. We're going to read Proverbs together. We're going to read a chapter of Proverbs, one chapter a day, Monday through Friday. So if you get behind, you can catch up on the weekend. And that's what we're going to do. So here's what I want you to do. If you need a little reminder with that, it's not rocket science. Tomorrow you start Proverbs 1, okay? But if you'd like a little reminder, we're going to text you a verse. I want you to text Proverbs to this number, 41411. Text Proverbs to 41411. In the first service, we've already had over 1,000 people that have gotten a part of this. So everybody's doing this. Jump in on this. And we'll text you a thing once a day. It'll just be a verse or an encouragement or don't forget to read it today or whatever it is to be able to do that. Now, what we're also going to do, you can find this on the website as well. So we're going to read Proverbs together. Imagine if we, 1,000 strong, Siena, Cypress, downtown, Espanol, Loop, we all read Proverbs. We're going to grow in wisdom. So that's one thing that we're going to do. We're going to read Proverbs together. The second thing we're going to do is I'm going to answer questions before each message. Now, I have been doing this long enough. We are not raising our hands and doing open mic, okay? That's not happening. We're going to just take questions. So you look at the bottom of your listening guide. You can also text a question about one of the subjects, and we'll take some of each subject each week, and we'll be able to do that on the website as well. I was on the KSBJ morning show a week or so ago, and they had this thing of Ask the Pastor, and the phones lit up. They had all these people on hold wanting to ask questions, not necessarily me, but just of a pastor. So I thought, well, let's do this in the book of Proverbs as we talk about parenting, as we talk about sex, as we talk about integrity, as we talk about man and woman of God, of living those things out. So we've got three questions. We're going to start out with wisdom. This is our subject. We've already had some questions submitted. So let me give you three questions to just get the message going on wisdom. First question is this. Why is wisdom referred to as a woman in Proverbs? Now, I've been married 20 years now, so this is why. Because women are better than men. Right, honey? Isn't that what I'm supposed to say? Women are wiser than men. Now, here's why. It's using a literary technique, just like you would say about a ship. You know, she's come into port, those sort of things. And what it's going to do through Proverbs is you're going to see this woman illustration used throughout Proverbs. First, it's going to begin with a woman of wisdom. She speaks and she declares at the city gates, declares wisdom. Then you're going to see in kind of chapters 5 and 6 in particular and on through a couple other chapters in that area, you're going to see then the adulterous woman. So now you're going to hear of an adulterous woman. So you're going to see wisdom and you're going to see sin. And then Proverbs is going to culminate, ladies, what's it culminate in chapter 31? With the ideal woman. So all throughout Proverbs, you're going to have this illustration, this literary use of a woman of wisdom, an adulterous woman of sin, and the ideal woman of what it looks like to walk with God and to honor your family in the places that you are. So that's why they take it through Proverbs. It's an honor to you, ladies, but that's also why they take it through in a literary use of wisdom, adulterous woman meaning sin, and then the ideal woman, and we all are able to learn from this, men as well. The second question is this: when does faith supersede wisdom? Someone submitted this question to us. I thought this was good. When does faith supersede wisdom? Faith and wisdom actually complement each other. So you should never say, well, hey, I'm going to have faith, and we're going to jump out, and I'm going to buy a house, but I don't have a job, and we don't have any money, and we don't have a down payment. That's not wise, okay? Faith and wisdom go together. James chapter 1, verse 5. I'll quote this scripture many times throughout our message. James chapter 1, verse 5, it says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, but let him ask in faith, believing that God grants wisdom, or he will be double-minded and thrown about as a ship on the waves. So wisdom and faith go together. Here's how you can think of it. What faith is the sail, and wisdom is the rudder. Faith is the sail, catching the wind of God to take you someplace, but wisdom is the rudder. They work together, not in contradiction. So if you grow in your faith, you should be growing in wisdom. If you're growing in wisdom, true godly wisdom, you should be growing in faith. So great question. Number three, what happens when I think I'm being wise and bad things still happen? What happens when I think I'm being wise and bad things still happen? I would say this, three words: hang on longer. Hang on longer. All of us look at the short-term perspective. We have to look at the long-term perspective. There's never going to be a time that you're going to look back and say, man, I wish I would have been unwise. That would have gone better. Wisdom will always be the choice that you'll want to make. Now, you might not see it on day one. You may not see it on day 101. But God's going to do something. Last week at the Loop campus, David Self did a great job while I was out preaching in Galatians of saying, don't grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest. Sometimes we just got to wait on God to show us what he's doing, even through bad times. So that's just three questions. We'll do it with parenting. We'll do it with sex. We'll do it with being a man of God, being a woman of God. We'll take these through. You can text them in. You can go online. You can do whatever you want with that. And I'll try to pick out some questions and be able to answer those as we go on. So let's talk today about wisdom. Do you want to be a wise person? Would you like to make wise business decisions or just kind of haphazard ones? Would you like to make wise decisions in your family? Or just kind of whatever you feel like at the time. Do you make wise decisions with your forward thoughts of what God may be doing in your life or with your health or with your parenting? Or do we want to just kind of, well, you know what, I'm just going to do my own thing and hope it works out. All of us want wisdom. So let's define, if we can first, what do we mean by wisdom? So this is how it could be defined in the commentaries in different ways. Wisdom is the capacity to understand in order to live skillfully. Now, this isn't talking about being outside of the will of God and you're just going to do things right. It's to be skillful in your life, not haphazard, but God guiding you skillfully. Wisdom, the capacity to understand in order to live skillfully. I want all of us to say this together, all of our campuses, everybody loud and proud, we're going to say it together. You ready? Here we go. Wisdom, the capacity to understand in order to live skillfully. I want to parent skillfully. I want to be a husband skillfully. I want to pastor skillfully. I want to be a friend that's skillful in my friendships. Students, to be skillful in the way that you interact at school. That is what wisdom is. So how do we get it? Let's look. We're going to look in Proverbs 4, beginning in verse 5. We're going to go all the way to 9, but let me give you verse 5 to start with. Here's verse 5. Verse 5 says in Proverbs 4, get wisdom. Get understanding. Is this clear enough? Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. So here Solomon is declaring, I want you to get wisdom. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to get understanding. Now, how do we get wisdom? There's three ways that we can gain wisdom. Three ways. Number one, from the Lord. From the Lord. Now, I just gave you the whole message right there. If you don't hear anything else, that's all you need right there. from the Lord. We get wisdom from the Lord. We read the scriptures. We read Proverbs. We say, you know what? There's something higher. There's something greater. I want to know something in the heavenlies. I don't just want earthly. I want heavenly. So we pray for wisdom. We read about wisdom. We ask about wisdom. We think about wisdom. We step out with the Lord and walking with Christ. As you grow in Christ, you're growing in knowing Him. In memorizing Scripture. Students, one of the greatest things you could do at an early age is to memorize Scripture. Spend time in this Word. And let it be something that you're putting in from the Lord, wisdom happening in your life. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It says in Luke chapter 2, and Jesus grew up becoming strong, and He was filled with wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but it is from Him that you are in Christ, who became God-given wisdom for us, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. So the first place that we go is we go to the Lord. To find true wisdom, we've got to go to the Lord. Now for the last probably 25 years-ish, every day, and I've missed a few for sure, but almost every day I've prayed for two things. Lord, I ask for wisdom and I ask for leadership. I ask for wisdom and I ask for leadership. I want you, Lord, because James 1, chapter 1, verse 5 says, any of you who lacks wisdom, ask of the Lord. So I'm asking every single day for 25 years, Lord, I want you to give me wisdom every single day. Now, of course, I miss days. Of course, I make bad decisions. No question. I didn't stop being human because I prayed that. But I'm asking God to give me wisdom. Lord, give me leadership. I want you to lead me. And also give me leadership so I can lead y'all. And I can lead my family and my home. So those are two things that I just would just encourage you. Put that on your prayer list, that you would begin praying every day for God to grant you wisdom and grant you leadership. So the first place we get wisdom from is the Lord. The second place we get wisdom from is other people. Other people. Wise counsel is greater than today's thoughts. Wise counsel is greater than today's thoughts. Now, you can look out in the world and get a lot of opinions about a lot of things. There could be five subjects and 50 opinions on those five subjects. But wise counsel is greater than today's thoughts. And students, you haven't lived long enough yet, but you will. And I'm just getting there where I can live long. You can see ideas come and go. But society never apologizes, hey, we had a bad idea about 20 years ago. They just shove the next idea in. So wisdom comes from wise counsel. Do you have men and women in your life, people surrounding you, that you're able to give wise counsel? They're able to give you wise counsel. Parents, let's incorporate people in our kids' lives that we're able to say, you know what, you ought to ask so-and-so about that, not just hear it from dad. You ought to ask so-and-so about that, not just hear it from mom. Sometimes with my kids, if I have somebody in their life, I'll say, you know, why don't you ask so-and-so about that subject? Or I'll even in the moment, if they're together, I'll say, so-and-so, would you tell them about this and teach them something about it and just let them speak wisdom in their life? Wise counsel is so crucial. There's people in my life and there should be people in your life. When you come to a place you don't know what to do, you should be able to pick up the phone and say, can I ask you a question? Will you give me some wise counsel on this and be able to hear them out? When I first got here as pastor 14 years ago, which is hard to believe now, but 14 years ago, I set up what was called a wisdom team. And I would call five guys, not burgers and fries, just five guys. And so I had these five guys, and I would call a different one every week, so nobody had to be burdened with talking to me every week. So I would call a different one, and they were men that knew me. They loved the church, but they really knew me long before I came here to the church. And I would just ask one, different fields and vocations, and I would ask one a week, and I'd say, you know, what's going on? What do you think about this? I have this idea. I have this thought. And they were wise counsel for me. It was on my schedule to be able to do that. I don't have it quite as formal in my life anymore. Maybe I should. But I still have people around me that I could talk to and say, let me bounce an idea off you and get some wise counsel. Wise counsel is better than today's thought. Number three, you get it from life. You get it from life. You learn from your mistakes, and you learn from the mistakes of others. See, this is a difficult one. Here's the bad news. How do you make good decisions? By making bad decisions. How do you make good decisions? By making bad decisions. Life, a lot of times, will teach you lessons. Because none of us get it perfect. We all end up, we want the bullseye to be hit, and we feel so guilty when we don't hit it just perfect. We're like, oh, how could I not know that? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I not do that? How did I not see that coming? But here's what you've got to do. You've got to understand that God's using those things to teach you. I'll never be perfect. You'll never be perfect. What we say in our family, small mistake, big lesson. Medium mistake, big lesson. You don't want to say big mistake, big lesson. That's where you don't want to be. But to be able to learn as we go along, you learn things along the way. And that's why you have wise counsel. That's why the Word of God says, and I bet a few people will amen this one, that gray hair is the crown of wisdom, right? Because you get gray hair by having difficult decisions that happen. And so we've got to have from the Lord, we have to have from others, and we have to have from life. Listen to a Harvard professor. Experience comes from what we have done. Wisdom comes from what we have done badly. Experience comes from what we have done. Wisdom comes from what we have done badly. Another man says this, a wise man learns by the experience of others. An ordinary man learns by his own experience, and a fool learns by nobody's experience. We want to learn from the Lord. We want to learn from other people. Other people, even in bad stuff. Look when somebody has an affair. How did it go? Learn from that. Look when somebody makes a bad decision. Learn from that. Learn from other folks. And have wise counsel around you as well. Learn from other people's failures and other people's successes. And learn from life as life teaches you. When Kelly and I were engaged, we were about to get married, and I just played this little game, and I still do it. It's a very interesting game I want to give you. I would just ask people, what's one bit of advice you have about marriage? Now, you got to say one bit of advice, because if they're a talker, they'll tell you like 45 different things, and you'd be like, okay, I can't handle all 45 things. I need a tweet, okay, is what I need here. And so I would ask people, what's your one bit of advice for marriage as we were engaged? I'd ask people I thought they had awesome marriages, people that I thought didn't have so great of marriages. I'd ask people that had gone through a divorce, I'd ask people that had been married for, 50 years kind of thing. And so I would ask and try to gain wisdom when we were going to have a child. What's one bit of advice you have in parenting? I still ask pastors to this day, what's one bit of advice that you would have for me as a pastor? One bit of advice you may ask somebody about finances, about schoolwork students, about choosing a college, about picking a high school, whatever it is. What's one bit of advice? Do that and make that a game of gaining wisdom in your life. This one man, going on a ski trip. I was speaking at this ski trip, which is like an awesome thing to be able to go on a ski trip and be able to be the speaker about the Bible. So that's like double good. And so I parked the car and I'm riding the shuttle bus, that takes you to the airport. And so me and the driver are talking, and he had never been skiing, so he was asking me questions about it. So I thought it was a good time to ask him. I said, I'm engaged. I'm about to be married. He said, oh yeah. And I said, what's one bit of advice you would have for me in being married? He said, how you take her out real nice and you open up the door for her with the car? I said, yes, sir. And he goes, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Let me tell you what I hear in my mind sometimes, 20 years of marriage, when we're getting to the car. And you know what happens after a few years of marriage? You stop opening the doors, right? You stop going to the nice place. You're like, oh, let's just save money. And, that's costing money. And then I hear this gentleman, this wise man driving a bus. And I hear him say, keep doing it. Keep doing it. And when I hear that, I walk around that door and I open up that door, and she never tells me, stop doing it, stop doing it, right? Women love inconvenience, gentlemen, right? Get that through your mind. If it's inconvenient or expensive, they love it. And what are we? We're efficient and cheap, okay? So it's like we need the Lord to put this thing together. Keep doing it. Learn the wisdom from the Lord. Learn the wisdom from others. Learn the wisdom from life. And in going through those, you're going to gain wisdom, is what it's saying in verse 5. Now, let me give you a decision-making tree. I want to, because wisdom's hard to define, right? It's kind of one of those things, I know live skillfully, but what is it? Let me build a maturity on decision-making tree for us, okay? This is not in your notes, so if you think this is wise, then write it down. Where does decisions begin? Decisions first begin with us asking a question, what's best for me? So a two-year-old says, mine. What's best for me? Me having this toy. That's where we start our decision-making tree. This is the lowest level of decision making. And unfortunately, this is really where our world lives, isn't it? What's best for me? I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what anybody else says. What's best for me? Well, that's one place to start, but let's add something else. The next place to be is to ask, well, what's right? What's right or wrong? Isn't there right or wrong still in the world? What's right? What's wrong? What's moral? What's immoral? So we can move from what's best for me to now asking what's right. And some of us as Christians, we get hung up on this. So we think that God's this great umpire in the sky. All he cares about is what is right. Just do what's right. Do what's right. Do what's right. Yes, but he cares about your heart. He loves you. He doesn't want you to just do what's right as a robot. He wants you to do what's right because you love him and you want to obey him. So it's not just do what's right. It's not do what's best for me. It's not only do what's right. We next ask the question, what's wise? What's wise? Something may be legal and not be wise. You can go to Colorado and smoke pot. I'm going to encourage you not to, okay? That's not a wise way to live your life. And so here we've got what's right moves to what's wise. So where are you on the continuum? Are you just asking questions, what's best for me? What's best for me? What's best for me? Are you just asking, well, what's right? What's wrong? Give me the rule. Are you asking what's wise? And then the ultimate place, the highest place, is what glorifies God? What glorifies God? So parents, we want to be teaching our kids how to make decisions. It's not just what's best for me. It's not just what's right or wrong. It's also what's wise and what glorifies God. Now here's the secret sauce. You ready? If you and I will ask this question first, what glorifies God, then we'll get all these other things thrown in, won't we? Because what glorifies God is going to be what's wise. What glorifies God, of course it's going to be right. He's the King of righteousness. And what glorifies God is going to be the best for you. Might not be what you want, but it may be the best for you because he's come to give us life and give it abundantly. So the maturity of a decision, this is the most immature place to be. What's best for me? Now we're moving to what's right. Now we're moving to what's wise. And ultimately what glorifies God. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So as we walk in wisdom from the Lord, from other people, and from life, we ask the question, sure, what's best for me? That's a great question. But it's not the only question. And if we'll start here and move down, now we got something going on. If you just get stuck here, where many of us do, then you end up just trying to make sure you're walking the line with God. Then you end up getting bitter with him because you feel like he's just this big rule follower God, instead of realizing he wants you to walk in wisdom. So how do we find wisdom? We find it from the Lord. We find it from others. We find it from life. And now I want you to look at verse 6. Verse 6. Proverbs 4, verse 6. Don't abandon wisdom. She will watch over you. Love her, and she will guard you. So don't abandon her, and love her, and she will watch over you. So two things. Love wisdom, obey wisdom. Loving wisdom is your desire, that you desire, that you go, Lord, I want to love wisdom. I want to really desire wisdom, and I want to obey wisdom. That's my discipline. So desire is a love for God. It's a love for wisdom. Solomon, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, the Lord comes to him and says, what do you want? You can, and it's kind of three wishes from a genie type of thing. Not that God's a genie, but the illustration of that. He said, what do you want? You want fame? You want fortune? What do you want? What would you say to God if he said, what do you want? Now, I know right now you'd say, I want a tax return not to have to pay. Okay, I understand. But a little bit broader spectrum, Solomon says, I want wisdom. What is that? That is a desire and a love for wisdom. Students, would you say, God gives you anything you want? I want to be popular. Not a good enough statement. Be wise. I want to have a boyfriend as a single. I want to have a girlfriend as a single. Not good enough. Choose to be wise. I want to make a bunch of money as a businessman. Not enough. I want to be wise. So he chooses in his desire wisdom. And then they say obey wisdom, and wisdom is a discipline. Do you know this? This is bad news, but it's true. What's wise and what your emotions say may be at odds. You may emotionally feel this and it not be the wise decision. And the secret is, the discipline of life is, that we don't just live by our feelings. We don't live by our lust, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Instead, we live by the things of God, and we walk in wisdom. So when you're feeling it and you're wanting it, you got to step back and say, is this really wise? Because many a folk has gotten in trouble by just doing what they feel instead of doing what really is wise. So what are some things we can desire? We talk about desiring wisdom. Let me give you some places in Proverbs. This is just a list. If you desire these things will become wisdom. These are the ingredients that become wisdom. Proverbs 9, it talks about reverence is one of the requirements of gaining wisdom. So I acknowledge God and I revere God. I fear the Lord. I say, you're higher, you're better. Proverbs 11, humility is something that garners wisdom. It's a requirement for wisdom. Can't be proud and wise. Humility brings wisdom, Proverbs 11. Teachableness in Proverbs 9. So Proverbs 9, I want to be teachable. So Proverbs 9, verse 9 talks about that. Also talks about it in Proverbs 15, Proverbs 19. Teachable brings wisdom. Diligence in Proverbs 8 and also Proverbs 2 brings wisdom. If I'm diligent, that's the precursor of wisdom. Uprightness in Proverbs 2, that we do the righteous right thing. And then faith in James chapter 1. So reverence, Proverbs 9. Humility, Proverbs 11. Teachableness, Proverbs 9. Diligence, Proverbs 8. Uprightness, Proverbs 2. And faith in James chapter 1. Now let's take the contrary of these. If you're going to be a wise person, reverence. Let's take the opposite. I don't revere God. God's just, I don't respect him at all. I'm not going to revere him. That's not going to get you wisdom. Humility. I'm cocky. I know everything there is to know. Not going to get you wisdom. Teachable. I know it all. Not going to work. Diligent. No, I think lazy is a better way to get wise. That's not going to work. Upright. I'm going to be crooked. Faithful. I'm going to be faithless. Those ingredients come together so that we love wisdom and we desire wisdom in our lives. And then what happens is this becomes the pass that can get you through anything in life. Good times, bad times. It's the pass is wisdom. When I was growing up, a family member of ours was down in Brazoria County, and they had the Brazoria County Fair. And this family member at the time previously was the past president of the Brazoria County Fair. He also owned the feed store in Brazoria. So if you own the feed store in an agrarian kind of town, you're basically the president, okay? I mean, that's basically what happens. You got the feed store. Everybody knows you in town. So he was then the past president of the Brazoria County Fair. So I showed up with a friend of mine. We were going down there to visit, and I brought a friend, and we got these passes that were for the Brazoria County Fair. They were the past president's passes. Only the past presidents could give these passes out. And we could show this at any ride, and my friend and I, we got on the ride. For free, no ticket lines, no paying any money, no anything. We could get off the ride and right back on the ride. So, I mean, when you're 9 years old, it was like tilt-a-whirl, 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 Ferris wheel, bumper car. It was awesome. The only thing that was negative out of it is you didn't get free funnel cakes, okay? That would have made it like, hallelujah, hallelujah. So it was kind of praise to the Lord, but not quite hallelujah because there wasn't a funnel cake involved there. But in that, so we could get on anything, anytime, any moment, wham. And we were like, past president, boom, 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 9 years old, 10 years old, whatever we were, just nailing it, nailing it, nailing it. It was really one of the greatest days of my life. I mean, looking back, even at this moment, it's awesome. Not a care in the world, free passes. And then somebody else bought me a funnel cake, so it all worked out in the end. But we would get on. Well, do you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is that card for any ride you're ever going to be on in your life. It's a card for parenting. It's a card for singlehood. It's a card for marriage. It's a card for a divorce. It's a card for joy. It's a card for grief. It's a card for a decision in a business. It's a card for a decision of what college you'll go to. It's a card that you're able to pull out and say, in wisdom, I want this card to be my entrance into every ride of life. So I'm going to love wisdom, I'm going to obey wisdom, I'm going to be disciplined by it. And now let's look at verse 7 through 9 as we're going to wrap up in just a minute. We're just about finished. Verses 7 through 9, wisdom is supreme. That's why Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1 asked for wisdom. So get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding. Cherish her. Do you see how we started with talking about wisdom is in a personification of a lady? Cherish her, and she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she will honor you. She will place a garland of favor on your head, and she will give you a crown of beauty. Seek it above all else. That's what God has for us. So we could say this, be as wise as Solomon. What's our goal in life? Our goal in life is we want to be as wise as Solomon. Are we going to be as wise as Solomon? No, we're not. But can we make that attempt and say, Lord, the number one thing I want is just like Solomon asked in 2 Chronicles 1, I want wisdom, God, in this decision. I want wisdom for this day. I want wisdom in things I even think I got handled. I want you to give me wisdom. Because here's the thing. Wisdom will cost you and bless you. Wisdom will cost you and bless you. This Hebrew word of get wisdom is a word that alludes to a business transaction. What's a business transaction? I'm going to give you $20. You're going to give me $20 back worth of goods. There's a transaction that happens. Wisdom will cost you. It will cost you. Now, let me tell you about the cost for a second. When you make a wise decision, you may pay a price for that. It will cost you. But the price paid for wisdom is always a trade up. It's always a trade up. The cost for sin is always a trade down. So when you choose sin, you're trading down. You're losing money, if you will, quote unquote. When you choose wisdom, you're trading up. And it may cost you friends when you make a wise decision. It may cost you entertainment when you make a wise decision. It may cost you time when you make a wise decision. It will cost you. Here's the deal. When you get married to walk in wisdom, it's going to cost you. Men, you're going to spend money on things you do not understand and do not need. Ladies, somebody just said amen. Amen. Ladies, you're going to spend money on things you don't understand and you don't need either. But in that, if you realize that cost, that's wisdom. In parenting, you're not going to get to do everything as a parent. If you're a new parent, guess what? You might as well cross off movies out of your life unless you're at home for years. It's just not going to work. Not going to happen. And please, for the rest of us that don't have babies anymore, don't take them to the movie. You know, so. But by the time you get to the movie and you spent $50 on a babysitter and had to stand out in the lobby the whole time to spend, you know, $50 on the movie by the time you get popcorn and all that business to be able to do it, it's just not wise, right? So as a parent, you're just going to have to pull off some things. You're not going to be able to have every hobby you've ever had, do everything you want to do. There's going to have to be hobbies y'all do. There's going to have to be meals you do with everybody. You're not going to be able to ring every bell at the office because you actually need to go home and be wise about your family because of time. Everybody says it, wise counsel today. It goes by fast with your kids. Be wise about it. Make less money and spend more time with your family. And you will stand at the end and say, that was the best decision. That was a wise decision. Drive a car that's less or whatever, worse, however you want to put it, and so that you can spend more time doing stuff with friends and family, be able to do that. But we're all caught in this rat race, right, where we lift up the folks that are doing everything. Here's the resume. They do this, they do this, they do this, they do this, they do this. And I ask my question, I say, how do they do this? And then in my heart, I go, they really don't. Something's got to give somewhere. So wisdom has a cost. Pay that price. Because you will find it is a trade up, not a trade down. It's great. It's awesome. I had a friend when I was in college. He was more of kind of somebody I looked up to. And so I would go to church. I hope you would assume that I went to church in college. So I went to church. And we would always sit, you know, everybody sits in the kind of the same areas. You know, so everybody's got their season tickets is what I call it at church. So some of y'all got season tickets. I know I can see you out there, season tickets. And it's cool. It's great. And so season tickets, so I had my season tickets as a college student. So you even get stuck in a rut as a kid. And so then right in front of me was a family that was there. And we would always turn around to welcome the guest and greet everybody. And his name was Dean, but he was also a dean at the university. Well, I didn't know that his first name was Dean, so I was always calling him Dean for like 2 years. Like, hey, Dean, how you doing, Dean? Good to see you, Dean. And then I realized this is the most disrespectful thing I've been calling this amazing man. So I finally apologized. I was like, you're a dean, but you're a dean. And I was trying to call you a dean. He's like, I got it. It happens all the time. Don't worry about it. So we were about to have a child, I said, what's some advice you would give me? He said this. He said, you know what? I love to play golf, but I realized I had to take a few years off of golf, not dogging golf. You like golf. Golf's great. But in his example, he said, you know what? I just realized it was taking too much of my time away from the family, and I had young kids at home, and I couldn't really do this hobby until it was our hobby. And then we did it together, and it was a different thing. It cost, but the cost was worth the price because of the relationship that he had with his kids. Seek wisdom. Why do we seek it? We seek it because we want God's will in our life and we want to honor the Lord. So how do we do it? The last blank, last thing, simply ask. James 1, verse 5, I've quoted it maybe 3 or 4 times at this point. Any of you lacks wisdom, ask of the Lord, who gives without reproach. But let him ask in belief and in faith, so that you're not tossed about like a ship on the waves back and forth. If you need wisdom on something, ask of the Lord. Read Proverbs. Get on the journey with us and say, Lord, I want wisdom. And what you will find is God will provide it from himself. He'll provide it from other people. He'll provide it from life. You'll love it. You'll cherish it. It will protect you like a garland of grace on your neck. And you'll be able to walk in grace. And you'll be able to have this pass that you say, Missouri County Fair. Missouri County Fair. I'm on the tilt-a-whirl right now. I'm on the Ferris wheel right now. I'm whatever it is right now. Wisdom gives me the step on every ride to understand what's going on. That's the price I pay so that I can get on there. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Next week, we're going to talk about parenting. Let's journey together and let's say, God, speak to our hearts. Whether you're a parent or not, come. Whether you have kids or not, come. Whether you're struggling to try to get pregnant or not, come. It's not going to be a painful message. But to be able to come and to say, Lord, we want wisdom in these things. As we find the 7 pillars in Proverbs, we could have 57 pillars in Proverbs, really. But I just picked out 7 things that we can look through as we journey in wisdom. Last thing I'll tell you, the wisest thing you can do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the wisest thing you can do. That one decision will take care of a ton of other decisions. And if you're already a believer in Christ, the next step is the wisest thing you can do is trust God with your life. And we're going to give you opportunity at every campus, every place, to trust Jesus as your Savior or to come to faith in him for the first time or walk in faith with him, just growing in your faith. You'll be able to talk to somebody, be able to pray right there in your seat, whatever it is. But that's the wisest thing you can do. Father, we come and we thank you, Lord. We want to live skillfully. We want to live with understanding. We don't want to live haphazardly. We don't want to just bounce from blog to talk show trying to figure out what to do in our lives. We want your will. We want to glorify you. We want to do what's wise, do what's right, because we ultimately know that's exactly what's best for us and brings us abundant life. So, Father, we just come in this time and we lay it before you. Lord, if anybody who doesn't know you as Savior, never placed their faith and trust in you as Savior, may today be that day that they say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Talk to somebody. If that's your heart, pray right there in your seat and ask Jesus to be your Savior and forgive you of your sin. Would you pray just right now in your seat and just say, Lord, give me wisdom. Just ask God for wisdom. Is there a certain subject you need to say, I need wisdom in this? Lift that up to him. Now say, God, thank you for wisdom. In Jesus' name.